Yukitomi wanted the ducks to believe because he was hungry, while the ducks wanted to believe because they wanted to dance. The truth lasted only until one duck opened his eyes and realized yet another truth. Yukitomi was killing them, and they would all die if they didn't flee. If the ducks had remained skeptical, the momentary truth would not have come about. All the ducks would have lived, and Yukitomi would have walked away hungry. We Lakota have heard Yukitomi sing several times. At the Fort Laramie Treaty Council of 1851, as thousands upon thousands of white immigrants made their way along the Oregon Trail from Missouri to Oregon and passed through Lakota territory, the United States Peace Commissioners told us, "They are only passing through and need only as much room as the width of their wagon wheels." The Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868 established the Great Sioux Reservation, the entire western half of the current state of South Dakota. "For as long as the sun shall rise, as long as the rivers shall flow, as long as the grasses shall grow." The truth is sometimes painful, but without it, there is only illusion. The truth is, we Lakota still walk the face of the earth. The truth is, we survive traumatic change and are wiser and stronger because of it. The illusion is that we were defeated by a stronger, better, more moral people with more God-given rights than we had. The truth is, we were overwhelmed by numbers, more people with more guns needing more and more of what we had. The illusion is that we are a conquered people. The truth is that we are survivors. We took on the worst that our conquerors could throw at us, and we are still standing. The illusion is that we are part of the past, something to be studied, analyzed, measured, dissected, and ultimately judged. The truth is, we are still a viable culture with traditions, customs, and values that have stood the severest tests. We all have our truths, some easier to accept than others. The L train is always late. Prairie gumbo is bottomless after a hard rain. One brother-in-law is a geek and the other believes he's a saint. Commuting sucks. My parents hate me because I'm 16. My 16-year-old hates me because she's 16. A one-sided love affair is the pits. The Minnesota Vikings broke my heart again. I can't live without my wife. But when all is said and done, there is only one truth that is unwavering. It has endured and will always endure because it will stand unabashedly and without apology. That truth is death, and it is the one that is avoided and most feared by American society. But it should be the standard for truth against which all others are measured. And we will find that nothing can compare with its honesty and faithfulness. Death is a taboo subject, generally speaking, consistently referred to euphemistically as the grim reaper, the cold night, or the wages of sin. There is rarely casual conversation among non-Indians about death or dying. Any references to it are made in hushed and apprehensive tones. A visit to any mortuary or cemetery is a confirmation of the general state of denial about death in American society. Funeral directors sell coffins that will protect your loved one for ages to come. Stone and cement crypts and mausoleums are used for the same reason, to deny death as long as possible. Logically, we are at least apprehensive about anything we don't know. Most people fear death because they don't know it, or they know the wrong things about it. No matter how much we deny it or try to avoid it, death touches us sooner or later, when a friend or a loved one dies. After we mourn and grieve the loss, many of us become angry at death as if we were an interloper, a thief in the night, a villain, or a killer. Death does not kill. Disease, accidents, rage, old age, stupidity, among others, are killers. Death is only part of the process of life. The truth about death is simple. It will happen. Nothing is more inevitable, no matter how vigorously we deny it or fight it. Death will come for us, regardless of how powerful, famous, rich, beautiful, influential, irreverent, or lowly we are. There is no way to fight it. We can fight to live, but we will always lose the fight with death. Thinking of death in those terms creates the illusion that it is an enemy. But it isn't our enemy. It is, when all is said and done, our truest friend. The most profound and reassuring truth about death is that it is a part of life. Life begins with birth and ends with death. With no other journey you travel can you know how it will end. We begin dying the moment we are born, which means living well is dying well. That is the truest measure of any being. The final, and perhaps the greatest truth about death, is that it is the great equalizer. It connects all living things to its truth. Every form of life shares with us the same journey that begins with birth and ends with death. No one being or species, not the most powerful, nor the most arrogant, nor the wisest, will ever alter that truth. There are many certainties, and even more illusions masquerading as truth. Nothing short of living and learning will enable us to know the difference. The first chieftain accepted the truth he heard and reacted to it with the truth of his own character, and was rewarded. The Easterner benefited from the wisdom of a man who sought truth in others. Iktomi, on the other hand, presented illusion as truth, and always will. Truth is what we make it. It serves our own ends. The Lakota regarded the Western migration of the white man as invasion. The white man regarded it as an entitlement. The Lakota look at the land and see a relative. The white man looks at the land and sees a commodity. Neither side is wrong, because ultimately all we can do is live our own truth. Sometimes, however, one truth hides another. Beware of Iktomi. A woman was suddenly stricken with an illness that ultimately was diagnosed as terminal. Though she could reconcile with her own death, she was most concerned for her children. One day, when she could count her life in days, she asked all four of her children to spend the afternoon with her in the hospice. Before they came, she was bathed and dressed and had her hair fixed. She was very weak, and the strain of sitting, not to mention ever-present pain, drained what little energy she had. The children spent the afternoon with their mother, as she had asked. During the visit, she sat in a chair and chatted as if nothing was wrong. The afternoon passed pleasantly and uneventfully. When it was time for her children to leave, the woman gave each one a hug and a smile. The moment her children left the room, the woman collapsed from the pain, and she died that night. Months afterward, the four children gathered together, and the topic of conversation soon turned to the last day they spent with their mother. All of them were grateful that their last moments with her had been wonderful, and they all agreed that their final images of her would never be forgotten. But one expressed some disappointment. "I know Mom was in terrible pain, but she acted as if there was nothing wrong. Why couldn't she be truthful with us?" he wondered. "Oh, but she was," replied the oldest daughter. "The pain wasn't the truth we should remember. The truth we should remember is the strength and the love she had in order to set it aside for those few hours." My maternal grandfather gave me a similar gift before he died on March 4, 1975, in the small duplex apartment he and my grandmother lived in. In his final days, my grandmother and I sensed that his time was near. He was growing weaker by the hour. She was definitely handling the situation with much more grace than I was. I know my grandfather sensed my pain and turmoil, no matter how well I thought I'd disguised it. One morning, he gamely took a few sips of tea as I held his cup. Then he touched my hand, and for a moment I felt his enormous strength of spirit. He spoke, and though his voice was weak, it was clear. Takoja, makha wichoni kihechenaktilo. Grandson, life goes on, he said. He helped me face one truth by reminding me of another. Of all the gifts he ever gave me, that was the greatest.